Guess what? Jesus is God. Just thought you should know that. Jesus is God. So we're beginning a series today. It's me and I think five other people. We're going to teach this series together. And it's Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And how many of you know there's a lot of opinions about Jesus, about who he is, and we want to know who he really is. And so we're going to be going through a series. I think it's 11 or 12 messages, something like that. And different ones are going to be preaching on a different aspect of who Jesus is according to the Bible. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the fact that Jesus is God. I thought that would be a good starting place for the series. When I'm sharing the gospel with people who've never heard about Jesus before, it's one of the things I love about living in Huron is... I'll be talking with someone at their apartment or something, and they have no idea who Jesus is. I've actually met people here in town, never heard the name before, no idea who he is. And usually I start with, okay, well, let me tell you who he is. Jesus is God. He's the one who made everything. He made the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun. He made the trees. He made you, all the people, all the animals. Jesus is God. He is the creator. He's the one who made all things. That's usually where I start with people. Do you know that there isn't a human being smart enough to figure out who God is, what he's like, and how to relate to him properly without God's help? You know that? It's like asking a one-year-old to figure out calculus. It's not going to happen, okay? It's just the mind isn't there. To be able to know who God really is without God revealing himself to us, which is why it's such good news that God wants to be found by us. God wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what he's actually like, and he wants us to know how we can relate to him properly because he wants a relationship with us. I remember when my kids were really little, and we'd play hide-and-go-seek in the house a lot of times. And if I got a good hiding space, I'm talking when they were really little, they would never find me. And they could never find me. I could hide as long as I wanted to hide. But you know what? I wanted them to find me because the point of the game was actually interacting with my children, not getting away and hiding in a closet somewhere. And so I remember times like I'd give them a chance to find me. And if they were nowhere near and they've walked by me, a whole bunch of times, I'm like, they're not going to find me. I start giving them clues. You know, I start making noises in that little, as I'm hiding in the closet, I'll be like, burr, burr, ah, you know, I'm just like, come over here. I'm trying to give clues, you know, and I'm trying to make it obvious. Daddy's over in this direction. You're totally going the wrong way because I wanted them to find me. And, you know, God wants to be found by us. And do you know he's left clues about himself? They're all around you. They're all around you. He's left clues in nature. He's left clues, in our conscience. He's built it. He's hardwired into our conscience a sense of right and wrong. And anyway, I could go on and on about that, but I'm not. My point is he wants to be found. But if you really want to know, I'd say the biggest clue of all, if you want to know who God is and what he's like and how to relate to him, you look at the person of Jesus. In Hebrews, it says, the Son, that's Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus is the exact representation of the glory of the being of God, of the nature of God. Jesus is God. So I'm going to look through a bunch of scriptures. You guys ready? I'm going to do it fast because I have a 30-minute time limit. And I'm going to go fast through these scriptures. And I have tons of scriptures, so I need your best attention. You guys with me? Come on, you got to do better than that. I need to know you're with me or else it makes me take longer because I have to repeat it because I don't think you're listening. Okay? So if you just say yes every once in a while, then I'll be like, okay, they got that. I can go on to the next scripture. Okay. So as we look through these scriptures, there's two things that I want you to see in all of these scriptures. The first is this. Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus is the eternal God. The second thing I want you to see is Jesus is at the same time, he's completely human. Forever. And for the rest of time, he'll always be human. Here's a cool thought. Think about this. Jesus is the eternal God. So he is and he has always been God. He has no beginning. He's the eternal God. He has no beginning. There was no point ever in time where Jesus did not exist. He's always been. He is the eternal God. Yeah, and he will always be the eternal God. Nothing's going to change that. But listen to this. There was a moment in time where the eternal God also became a human being for the first time ever. I mean, God had a new experience. God, who knows all things, had a new experience. He became a human being. It's Jesus. And when he became a human being, he is still fully God, but yet he's also going to be fully human for the rest of eternity. When Jesus returns, he's going to be in a human body. A billion years from now, when we're worshiping Jesus, he'll be in a human body. He'll have flesh, he'll have bones, he'll have lungs, he'll have a brain that's, you know, the stuff is firing off in there like it's supposed to. He's going to be a human being. His heart is going to beat. He's going to have a heart that beats. He's going to have real blood that's going through his veins. He's a human being forever, yet fully God. So I want you to not just take my word for it. This is a big deal. Because we need to know who Jesus really is. And he's not just a prophet. He's not just a good leader. He's not just a humanitarian. He's trying to help people out and feed the poor. He is God, which means this. A prophet, I like prophets, you know? I like them. I like humanitarians. I like good leaders, but I don't worship good leaders. I don't worship prophets, and I don't worship good humanitarians. But because Jesus is God, we worship him forever and ever and ever. Okay? So, first of all, in the Old Testament, Isaiah, the Old Testament prophets spoke of Jesus as God. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, this is probably a familiar verse. Everybody says it at Christmas time. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor." What else? Okay, now this is prophesying about Jesus, which I'll show you in just a little bit. It's prophesying about the Messiah when he comes, who is Jesus. He will be called Everlasting Father. That's a cool name. And Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah prophesied, it's another scripture about the Messiah. It says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child." Who's the virgin? Yeah, it's Mary, right? "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son." Who's the son? There you go. "And will call him Emmanuel," which means who is with us? That was a big clue right there. That was a big clue. Okay, look at Matthew. In Matthew, it says, as he Joseph, you know, he's wondering if he should take Mary to be his wife because she was found to be pregnant. "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him what?" Okay, so who are we talking about now? Jesus, yes. I'm tricking you, aren't I? "For he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, the one I just read to you. Quote, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child who will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. I mean, that's a big clue. First, Mary gets pregnant, and she's a virgin by the Holy Spirit, and it was announced to her by an angel beforehand. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon her, she becomes pregnant, and she's a virgin. Okay? And then an angel comes to Joseph and says this, "By the way, that child is God. God is here with you now. In a human body. Jesus is God." You see it? Okay. John the Baptist also proclaimed that Jesus was God. I love this verse. In John 1, 29-31, says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man, human being, right? A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Is that confusing? A man, a human being who comes after me has surpassed me because he came before me. See, here's the deal. When he says he came before me, it's because Jesus, John the Baptist knows the prophecies from Isaiah. He's a fulfillment of some of those prophecies. He's like, the Lamb of God that I came to prepare the way for is God, according to the prophets. He is God. In other words, he has always existed. He is long before I was born, he was fully alive. Does that make sense? But here's the deal. In the natural, according to the flesh, John the Baptist is older than Jesus. But John the Baptist confessed, no, he's way greater than I am. This guy, because he came before me. Even though I was born first, he was alive and well even when I was born. Jesus himself claimed to be God. John chapter 10, 30 through 33, Jesus makes this claim. He says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. He's talking about the Godhead there. I and the Father are one. And then how did the Jews who had studied the Old Testament scriptures, how did they react to this statement? Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy. Why? Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You see it? Fully man, fully God. They totally got what he was saying when he's like, I and the Father are one. They're like, oh, you're claiming to be God? Blasphemy. You can't be God because you're a human being. And they didn't have a grid for that in their mind. They couldn't understand that. But they were wrong. In John 8, Jesus said, your father, he's talking to a bunch of Jewish people again. And you know, they're all proud of Abraham. They're like, we're descendants of Abraham, right? The father of faith. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he says, okay, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? They're like, that doesn't make sense. Abraham, our father Abraham, none of us have ever seen him. We just heard the stories about him. It's been passed down through the generations. Abraham lived thousands of years ago. You're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you've seen Abraham? That doesn't make sense. I love this answer. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Oh, he drops the name on them, the I am who I am. Because one of the ways that God had revealed himself to the children of Israel, to Moses, Moses said, what's your name? God says, I am. Tell them I am who I am. And so this was a sacred name. Like the Jews fully understand that God, they're like, he's the I am, the great I am, the God of Abraham. And the Jesus right here is saying, guys, that's me. I was talking to Moses on Mount Sinai. Like, that was me talking to him. Before Abraham was ever born, I'm the one who spoke his life into being. Well, at that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. They're like really trigger happy, these people. So for this reason, John 5, verse 18, for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. John 17, verse 5, Jesus is praying, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence. I love the conversation between Jesus and the Father. He says, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You see it? Jesus is like, before the world began, I was alive and well. I was with the Father. And he's like, Father, glorify me again with the glory that I had with you way back before we even started this whole thing called creation. And then I love this, Revelation 1 verse 8. Now this is Jesus in a resurrected body. He's died. He's rose again. This is decades later after he ascended back into heaven. And he appears to John and gives him the vision, the message of the book of Revelation. And the resurrected Jesus in his glorified body, this is what he says directly to John. He says, this is who I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says who? Okay, this is Jesus talking. You can look up the context if you want for yourself. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. This is Jesus. He's like, I'm the Almighty. I am the Almighty. I remember one time I was witnessing to a Muslim man. And this is way back when I was in Bible college. And he told me, yeah, Jesus is a prophet, but he's not God. I was like, that's not true. And I was showing him some scriptures. Some of the ones I was referring, thinking of some scriptures that I'm going to show you in a little bit that were written in the epistles by his apostles. And he's like, yeah, but Jesus himself never actually claimed to be God. That's just something his followers made up about him afterward. I was like, no, that's not true either. So I want you to see here, this is just a small portion. There's more. But where Jesus himself says, I am the Almighty. I've always been. I am the eternal God. So not only that, but the apostles all proclaim that Jesus was God. In John chapter 1, it says, the apostle John writes, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word, what? Okay. He existed. He's talking about the Word, but then it refers to the Word as He. Because talking about Jesus, okay? He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. This is Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. This is God. When you're the one who created the heavens and the earth and all the people and all the animals and everything you see and the dirt and the water and the flowers and the trees, etc., this is God. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. Like, Jesus is the source of all life. All life that you see, it comes from one place. God, and when Jesus is God. And his life brought light to everyone. Then verse 14, so the Word became human. The Word became human and made his home among us. Remember the prophet Emmanuel, God with us? He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Apostle John also said in chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself, what? Okay, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is why I said earlier, I'm like, no one can just figure God out. Nobody just figures God out apart from him drawing them to himself. The fact, you know, you hear people, and maybe you have a testimony like this, who are like, man, I was just searching for God, and I was looking in all these other places before I finally found them. The fact that you even had a desire to know him was God drawing you to himself. He put the desire inside of you. And so it's like, how do we know who God is? You got people out there, how do we know who the real God is? You know, how do we know? How do we know? Because No one has actually seen God. But then John says, yeah, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. So he's actually not a... the truth is people have seen God. John saw God. You can read 1 John chapter 1, I think the first four verses. He says, the one we've seen that our hands have touched. You know what I mean? This is the one whom we proclaim to you. Anyway, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, this is Paul writing now. Paul says about Jesus, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Do you see it there? He's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. God is who he is, and he was a human being. He manifested himself in human form. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Do you see those two things again? All the fullness of God in a human body. He's fully God and fully human all at the same time. Check out this one, Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Like, there's no doubt about his deity here. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I love that. He existed before anything else. And he holds, that's present tense, right now, he holds all creation together. Man, I'm not a scientist, but I've heard people talk a little bit about science. And it's interesting, like, there's this mysterious something that holds everything in creation together. You know, everything is rotating around the sun, that's right? Everything's rotating around the sun. I'm just making sure. I'm really not a scientist. Like, science was like probably my least cared about subject in all of my school. It was like, just get by. I don't really care what my grade is. Just pass a class so I can go on with life and play sports. That's what I wanted to do. And math was good. So, and history was good. My opinion. So anyway, but there's this mysterious element that's like, what? How is it that, you know, you got to look the stuff up for yourself. But, you know, I heard him talk about, like, the earth. If it was just a little bit farther away from the sun, everything would freeze. But if it was just slightly closer to the sun, everything would burn up. You know, what? How is it, you know, that you have the tides that just go in and out every single day? Every single day. You know, there's a rhythm to life, not only on the planet, but in the earth. But in the universe is what I meant to say. There's a structure and there's an order to it. And if stuff were to just throw off and be random and chaos, it would destroy things. I mean, things are held together so perfectly. How is that? You know, even the human body. I heard somebody say this the other day. I'm going to get this wrong. I know. It was so good when I read it, but I can't remember all the details. But anyway, basically, they talked about how the atom. An atom, right? A-T-O-M. Our bodies, isn't it made of a bunch of atoms or something like that? Okay. I really don't know science. But anyway, there's this atomic energy. I might butcher this. Atomic energy, it's like this energy at the center, basically, that they don't really totally know how to. It's like this mysterious thing. They call it atomic energy, but it's energy. It's some source of energy that actually causes the body to work in some way to do with that. So anyway, I butchered that. But it's this mysterious energy. Where does that come from? It's God. It's right here. He holds all creation together. He is the giver of life. He sustains all things through the power of his word. Malachi is good at science. That's why he's laughing at me right now. Yeah, I'm thankful I have a son who's good at science to cover my back. So John chapter 20. Okay, so then this is after the resurrection, and Thomas is kind of doubting, you know. He hears that Jesus is alive, but he hasn't seen him yet after the resurrection. So he's like, I'd have to see him to believe, and I'd have to put my hands in his, the holes in his hand, and all this kind of stuff, and then I'd believe. So then Jesus appears to Thomas, and he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Then he says, stop doubting and believe. How did Thomas react to him? Thomas said to him, my Lord and my... Yeah, he worships him. Not just as my leader, my Lord. Because Jesus, he is Lord, but he's more than just a great leader. He is king of all kings, but he's more than just a good king. He is the prophet of all prophets. But he's so much more than just a prophet. He is God. And if you really want to know Jesus, you can't be missing this piece of who he is. Because this is like who he is. He's God. You have to worship him as God. I remember talking to a different conversation with a Muslim man several years ago. And he was like, he was a practicing Muslim, but he was pretty liberal in his beliefs about God. He was involved in universities and things like that. And he was trying to convince me, we're talking, and I love this guy. He's like, he was a really nice guy. I really enjoyed him. And but he was saying to me, he's like, no, really, he's like Christians and Muslims and Jews, we all worship the same God. He was trying to convince me of this. We all worship the same God, really. He's like, really, 80% of the things we believe are the same. We all believe in one God, that there's one God. And he goes on and on and on with this thing. And I had already talked to him about Jesus is God. He's like, no, Jesus, you know, even in the Muslim, you know, we see him as a prophet. And I'm like, but he's not just a prophet. He's God. He is the creator. And I was like, you, by your own confession, you acknowledge, you say, no, we don't believe. I do not believe that Jesus is God. Yet the God we Christians worship, he is Christ. He is Jesus. You can't say we're worshiping the same God. We're not worshiping the same God. And it's true. They're worshiping, they're following a theology invented by demons. Muslims, I'm talking about. And the Jews, they're following a theology invented by God. They just haven't gone all the way with what he revealed in the Old Testament. It pointed to Jesus, the King who would come, the Savior of the world, who would lead them in blessing forever and ever and ever, and who would be their Savior and their Lord. And they just haven't recognized him yet, but they're going to. And the good news is, even about Muslims all over the world are coming to know Jesus as God and worshiping him as God. And I mean, it's happening by the millions right now all over the world. You're not going to hear it in the news. The news just wants to report about ISIS and about all the terrorism and all the scary stuff. But you know what? They don't tell you what God sees. God sees, like, yeah, but you know what? Millions are coming in. There's a great harvest right now of Muslims who are coming to worship and know Jesus as God. It's awesome. And some of them, once they come to know Christ, they are some of the most devoted lovers of God and worshipers of God among any in the whole world. I mean, we're proud to call them brothers and sisters once they come to know Jesus, the way they serve the Lord. So Romans 9:5 says, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13 is my last scripture. We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. Who? That's right. Do you guys see it? Jesus is God. Will the real Jesus please stand up? There's a lot of people out there that I talk to them and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm into Jesus, man. I love Jesus. Like, he's so cool. I'm like, hey, he's God. He's to be worshipped as God. And sometimes I'll talk to them, they're like, they're not willing to go there. I was like, hey, you know, keep going. You don't know him yet. Keep searching him out. Because he's God. Until you, and this, I believe this is such a crucial point that we need to know as the church, and we need to be rooted and grounded in these truths. That's why I took the time to look at so many different scriptures, because I believe that in the deception that is going to be sweeping throughout the earth, so much of the deception is going to have to do with the nature of Jesus. So much of it is going to have to do with the nature of who is the real Jesus. What is he really like? And there'll be false Jesus movements out there. There'll be all kinds of stuff like that who claim, yeah, Jesus is a cool guy, but they don't worship him as God. They don't submit to his word. They don't recognize him as the final judge that they'll stand before and be judged according to his word. You know, God is love. Jesus is the perfect expression of that. You know, God is love, but Jesus, he's God. He is God. And we need to reroot it. I believe this is going to be challenged big time. It is right now, but it's going to be challenged big time before the end. I believe that there's going to be great deception to say, you know what, if you want to, you know, be a fan of Jesus, you know, that's fine, but go ahead, you have to worship this other God. This other thing is God. It's like, no, there is only one God. There is only one God. There's only one way to the Father, and it's Jesus. And I worship him. I worship him alone. I have no other gods before him. Do with me what you will, but I'm going to be worshiping Jesus. And by the way, he is able to deliver me out of your hands. You don't have the final say on my life. He's God. He holds all things together. He has the final word on my life. If it's time for me to go, then I'll go and he'll give me the grace to go through it and I'll glorify him in the midst of it. But if it's not my time, there's nothing you can do that can make me die. That's what John, the book of Revelation, that's exactly what happened to him. Church history testifies. He was, they tried to kill him by putting him in a pot of burning oil. That would be a bad way to die. I mean, that would be horrible. But he was there, and he wouldn't die. He was alive. He was totally fine. It was supernatural that God protected him. So they're finally like, whatever, and they just put him in exile on a deserted island called Patmos, which is like a work camp, I think. But they just put him out there, and then he's there. You know why? It wasn't God's time for him to die when they tried to boil him alive. It wasn't God's time, because God still had to come and give him the book of Revelation. Yeah, he's in control of all things. So why don't you stand with me? And I want to just, I want to actually take time together and worship Jesus as God together. So I'm going to transfer to the guitar real quick. But I want to ask you this. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? Because maybe there's people who are listening to this and you're thinking like, man, you know, I've kind of been a fan of Jesus. I'm interested in Jesus. I'm intrigued by Jesus. But I've not come to the point where I've realized that he was God yet. And I want to invite you right now to step over that line. To step over that line. You've seen it in the scriptures. I've showed it to you. The Spirit bears witness to the truth. And Jesus, he stretches out his arms. And he says, here I am. You want to know God? Here I am. Come to me. I'll forgive your sins. If you'll submit to me and worship me as God and follow my word, I will bless you. I will forgive you. I will embrace and adopt you. And you can know me. You can know me.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
We're going to sing that again. We're going to see Jesus is our God.
Jesus is our God. Sing with me, Jesus is our God. And all will see Jesus. Jesus is our God. And age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Jesus, you're the name.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Jesus is our God.
Jesus is our God. Sing with me, Jesus is our God. And all see Jesus. Jesus is our God. God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great. Lord, my heart will sing how great. Lord, my heart will sing how great is our God. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. Jesus, we lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life.
Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we come to you now. Thank you that you've opened our eyes to see the light, to see who you really are. You're God. You're worthy to be worshiped. God, we willfully and joyfully offer our lives to you in worship, Jesus. We lay ourselves at your feet as your servants, and we worship you, we bless you, we honor you forever and ever. God, we look for your appearing. We thank you that your kingdom, of the increase of your government, there will be no end. God, we thank you that the kingdom of God, the imprint of the kingdom of God in the earth will never get smaller than it is today. We thank you for that, God. It's always growing. Father, we ask that you would release your spirit right now throughout to our family members who don't know you, Jesus as God, that you would release your spirit right now and you would encounter them and open their eyes to the reality of who you are, Jesus, that they would know you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just speak this right now, that there be a release of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.